In Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul the Apostle says, of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. And so, looking at this, right from the very beginning, we see Paul addressing himself to the Christian believers in the church of Colossae as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, first of all, as we get into this, I want to talk about what exactly is an apostle, for some of you who may not know. It comes from a Greek word that was first used in reference to a cargo ship, if you will, or a fleet. But then later on, it spoke of a commander of that fleet. And in the New Testament of the Bible, it is used significantly to one who has been sent out, if you will, by another, representing another. But it's much, much more than just a messenger, okay? It is more of a delegate, if you will. One sent forth with authority to carry out specific orders. One who is sent as a personal representative, perhaps. Now, notice how Paul described this calling. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, now then, we are ambassadors. That's a good word. For Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So Paul uses this example as an ambassador. Now, an ambassador does not speak to please his audience, but rather he seeks to please the one who sent him, right? Now, an ambassador as well, he does not speak on his own authority, does he? His own opinions, his own demands, and his own desires mean very little, right? He simply says and does what he's been commissioned to say and do, right? But an ambassador, again, is more than just a messenger. He is a representative that has the honor and the reputation of his country and his king, whom he represents in his hands. As an ambassador of God, Paul makes a very simple, strong, direct plea, doesn't he? He says what? As though God were pleading through us, right? As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. So, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, this is our message, okay? That people would be reconciled to God. But somehow, I don't know how, but somehow we've developed this concept today that this message, this calling by God, there's not to be applied to just any old, everyday, regular Christian like many of us today. You see, these words, we think, are for only those very special people with very special titles like Paul the Apostle, right? He's an apostle. And evangelists, you know, big fancy words like that. And of course, pastors like Pastor Dan or, you know, or Pastor Joseph or, you know, those guys. Perhaps it's someone who has gone off to school, we think, right, for 4 years. And after that, they've gone off to seminary for another 3 years. And then after a few years of practical service on learning how to marry people and bury people, then we're eligible. Then we're qualified to stand before an ordination committee of men and women to be ordained into the ministry. That's when we're ready to apply this message to our lives. Now, first of all, I want to say that those things are great. And believe me, I wish I had the time to do them. But the truth of the matter is that the Bible doesn't teach us to do any of those things. And I don't believe that man, in and of himself, has any authority or any power to ordain anyone for the ministry. You see, it is God and God alone who ordains man for the ministry. You see, and the best that man can do is recognize and ratify what God has obviously done in their lives and has been doing in their lives. And we need to ask ourselves, can someone look at our life and see that God has in fact touched us? That there's something different about us. Something good. You see? Jesus says you will know them by their fruit. Not by their credentials, or not by what they wear. No, by their fruit. Men have ordained a lot of men who God never ordained, sad to say. At the same time, God has ordained many men whom man never ordained. You see? Paul the Apostle was in fact one of these men. He didn't have to go to the Jerusalem church to be recognized by the original apostles before he started ministering. He wasn't accepted by a committee and ordained because of some accomplished career path that he chose to go down. You see, it was because of this and because of these things, because he didn't have the credentials that one might think one would have to be a minister of God, his apostleship was challenged. You see, he was challenged, and it was no wonder that Paul often began his epistles by stating what he could not deny, and that was that he was an apostle. Indeed, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, notice his epistle as he begins to in the Galatians, to the Galatian church. He says this. He says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So you see, Paul's ordination was from God and God alone. And his ordination goes back to the Damascus Road, if you remember in the book of Acts, where he was on his way to do what? Persecute and kill, perhaps, and imprison who? Christians. That's when he was called. And it was on that road, you see, that the Lord called him to go to the Gentiles. He was told of the ministry he was going to be given and how he was going to suffer for the sake of Jesus. Right? His calling and his ordination was directly from Jesus Christ himself, and it wasn't based on his credentials and his previous good works. He was persecuting Christians. That's who he was before God called him. Now remember, it was Paul who gave the approval to have Stephen, the very first martyr of Christ, to be stoned to death. You remember that. Yet it was Paul, and during this time in his life, not so very proud past, even present, that God called him, you see. And he called him to repent from those evil ways and become, in fact, an apostle. And Paul knew that it was only by his grace, it was only God's amazing grace that has allowed him to be called an apostle. Notice his words to the Corinthians. He said in the first part, but by the what? Grace of God, I am what I am. As he was being challenged. He couldn't deny it. It wasn't anything he did. It was by God's grace and his grace alone, you see. So this amazing grace of Jesus Christ himself was that which called God and that which saved Paul, that is. Called Paul. Who gave Paul another chance, right? Who sent him out as an apostle, as an ambassador for himself. And you know, in like manner, I really believe that every Christian has received that same grace, haven't we? That same grace of God to represent him before the people with whom you or I come into contact with. Notice what Jesus said to his disciples, and you know this very well. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And he continued a few verses later, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But Joseph, you know, Jesus was talking to his apostles, to his disciples at that time in that place. He wasn't speaking to regular Christians like us today. What exactly is a regular Christian? What do you think a regular Christian is, anyways? Well, the word Christian itself is used only once in the Bible. Some of you may know, it's found in Acts 11:26. The latter part here says, so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Okay? So a Christian is simply means a follower of Christ, one who is Christ-like. But who was this title being applied to? The who? The disciples. The disciples. And what exactly is a disciple? Do you know? It's a student. That's it. Just a pupil. A student. You see, a regular Christian should be a disciple. That's what we're here. We're learning, right? The Word of God. Being a disciple, a student of His Word, a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what it really comes down to. Now, notice what Jesus said to His disciples, okay? He said, go, didn't He? He said to go, therefore, and to make disciples, more disciples, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you remember, teaching them, right? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Right? That's our calling. This verse, as you know, is called what? The Great Commission. And God has indeed commissioned us, hasn't He? And sent us out. He's given us a mission as His personal representatives. As I think I've shared with you before, but Amy pointed this word out to me. She calls it the Great Co-Mission. The Great Co-Mission. We have indeed been sent out. But we're not alone, you see. Notice what he said here. He said, I am with you always. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus never asks us to do anything that he himself is not willing to go and help us do. He wants to go with us, you see. So understand that these words that we read in the Bible, they are for all Christians. Not just those old Christians back then and those fancy ones with titles. No, we have titles too. Called Christian. Okay? Every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ has accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, you see, has been given this title of a Christian, of a believer. Colossians 1:1, as we look back at it, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. You see, if this was my letter, if I was writing this letter, I would probably write, you know, Joseph, a missionary of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's how I would probably write it, okay? But what about you? How would you entitle your letter? Perhaps you would say, I am whoever, a housewife by the will of God, right? A housewife of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Or perhaps I'm a student of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Or perhaps you're a company employee, right? of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You see? And we can go on and on and on, and hopefully you can say that about yourself. And the wonderful thing about being a Christian is this confidence that we have in fact been called by Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I am who I am by the grace of God. You see? And as I mentioned, you know, it's wrong for us to think because, you know, we're not in the ministry, or because we don't have some special title, or because you're not behind this pulpit, that God has given you any lesser of a calling. God has called all of us to represent Him in one way or the other. And God will use us where we're at. And He wants to use us wherever we are, wherever we go. And you know, He's really desiring to even reward you for your faithfulness and your obedience to do that which God has called you to do. Just be a Christian. Now, for example, before I was a pastor, I was Joseph, a high school teacher of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's where He called me. That was where I was at when He called me. You see, I don't know where God's going to take you once He calls you. But are you who you are today by the will of God? Are you confident that you are who God wills you to be right here, right now, by the will of God? Or are you simply in God's, what they call, God's permissive will, some will say. A place where perhaps we have stubbornly fought against God and God's will to be where we're at today. Sometimes we look back, right? We look back at our life and we start asking all these questions, right? What would have happened? And things that has been and would have been. And if this is God's perfect will for my life, has my life been God's will? You know, and we start asking these questions. And we start doubting. And we wonder, is this God's will for my life? Right here. Is this it? Or is this the life that I'm living as a result of what? My past mistakes, my past choices that I've made for myself, and this is the result of where I'm at. We start thinking too, right? And from time to time, you know, we wonder, don't we? We wonder, what if? If only I would have, we say. Oh, I probably could have. I should have done this, that, or the other thing. And we have these thoughts. Now, there's nothing wrong. Let me say, there's nothing wrong with looking back at our past mistakes and learning from those mistakes. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we have to be very, very careful when we do. When we start this going down this road, this type of thinking, you see, this second guessing of our life and how it could have, would have, should have been, you know, it leads down a road, a very depressing road, let me tell you, of regrets and past failures that Satan would love to remind you of. You see, that's a warning. For example, what if you, not me, of course, because I have the best wife in the world, but what if you, perhaps, got married during this time of your life where you were in God's permissive will? In other words, He was just letting you do what you wanted to do, right? Rather than God's perfect will. And all of a sudden, there you are, and that perfect person comes along in your life, and comes along, you realize, oh no, I messed up. Oh, if I was only in God's will, I could have been married to this person, but instead I'm married to this person. What a drag, right? But sorry, it's too late. Too bad, so sad, we say. You're stuck. Bummer. You're stuck with this person that you'd already married. Oh, what a miserable way to look at your life. And there's people that do that, you see. People who start to think this way. If I only would have done this, I could have had this or that or the other thing. You see, could have, would have, should have, we say to ourselves. How sad. How sad. Mecha shabon shabon. Man. What a sad way to look at your life. We need to stop, because if we continue down this path of constantly second guessing our lives, we're going to be miserable, folks. We're going to be miserable. And God doesn't want you to be miserable. Now, we simply need to remember, and here's something I hope will help you. As bad as we may mess it up, God is able to fix it up as long as we're willing to give it up. As bad as we mess it up, God is able to fix it up as long as we're willing to give it up. You see? Are you willing to give it up to God? Give what up, Joseph? You might be asking. Give up your will. Give up your plans. Give up your desires. Give up your past. You see? Are you willing to give up and surrender your life completely to Jesus Christ? Let me promise you something. When you do, when you finally come to this place, that is when you will know. That is when you will be able to say, today, I am who I am, doing whatever I'm doing by the will of Jesus Christ. I am whoever you are. You are who you are, doing what you're doing. You're of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Can you say that? Can you say that? I say it. But it's from this place, understand,
Don't matter where you're at today. But as long as you come to this place today to say, I am who I am by the grace of God, and I'm here today. Joseph, our pastor of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Whoever you are, of Jesus Christ by the will of God. When you come to this place, it's from this place, that we can begin. So now look back, to press forward and begin to do our best from here on out onto the Lord and commit the rest to Him. We do our best and we commit the rest, we say. Notice what Colossians says. Paul says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's who we serve, whatever we do. And what a beautiful, liberating rule to live by. You see, when we do all things unto the Lord, we will have no regrets, let me tell you. We will have no regrets when it's all said and done. And whatever happens, whether it be good or bad or ugly, whatever happens, it was done unto the Lord. I did it unto you, Lord. Even if I messed it up, I still, my intentions were good, Lord. You know my heart, right? And when you have that attitude of simply doing your best and committing the rest to God, what a peace you will have. What liberty you will have to have no regrets, you see. We live our life with regrets. No more regrets. No more. Do everything unto Him, you see. And if it doesn't work out according to your will, well, God allowed it, you see. And if people reject you for whatever reason, well, they're only rejecting Jesus, okay? You see, when we seek to live our lives for Him and please Jesus, we will in turn do what? We will surrender our lives to Him, won't we? We will give Him our lives completely. And when we completely come to this place of surrender, when we surrender our lives to Him, no matter what happens from that point on, perhaps from this point on for you, you will have a peace. You'll have a peace to know that He's allowed it to happen, whatever happens. A peace knowing that He's in control, you see. He's sovereign. A peace knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. For you serve the Lord. You serve the Lord Jesus. You see? And this is a promise to us, isn't it? We will be rewarded with an inheritance that is waiting for who? For those who serve the Lord. You see? The regular Christian. And on that day, folks, when it's all said and done, and when we hear those wonderful words, it's going to be all worth it. Let me tell you, it's going to be all worth it. Well, what words, Joseph? These words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, it's going to be worth it. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord. There's nothing worse than a miserable Christian. Stop looking back at your misery and look forward to glory and be who God's called you to be. Because it's very sad that there's Christians today who don't have this kind of faith, who don't have this kind of love, who don't have this kind of hope. It's It's a very sad thing. But these were attributes that were found in the Church of Colossae that we're going to read more about next week. So I hope you will join us. Father, thank you so much for this time. As we look into this epistle, that already with verse 1, you're teaching us so much. Can't wait for verse 2. Oh Lord, your word is so good. It's so powerful. It speaks to our hearts, Lord. Just to think of those words. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Lord, can we say that about ourselves today? Are we who we are today according to your will? Are we, Lord? Help us not look back of where we came from or what we were doing. I don't think any of us here today are persecuting Christians. I hope not. But if you can change Paul the Apostle's life, you can certainly change ours. Help us not look back, Father. Press forward the upward call of God. Please help us, Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, know this. He wants to save you too. And all you have to do is ask Him. That's it. He'll touch you the way he touched the Apostle Paul. Change your life for the good, for eternity. Father, help us look to eternity. Help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Arigatou gozaimasu.